I want to begin by getting some feedback. One of the more funny members of the class came this morning to ask me if we were going to have a visit from the Rolling Stones today. You had to be here last week to know the reason for that. But I am curious. I need to know if last week meant something to you.
Yes.
It seemed to me you had an opportunity to see the translators who have given us our Bible. The ones who did King James are long dead. Many of the ones who do some of the familiar translations are, but Eugene Peterson is still around. And the chance to see him, to hear his voice, to see his face, to watch his wife cook cookies, and to see them interacting with somebody as, at first, unlikely as Bono, which, by the way, I've practiced all week never to say Bono again. I've gotten way too much grief from some of my more hip friends. I thought that was interesting. And I'm wondering whether you found it that way as well. For those of you who were not here or don't know what I'm talking about, the lesson website will have this date from last week with an A and a B and a C and a D and an E. What I read to you is in there. The videos that we saw and a couple of videos you didn't see are in there. A couple of other things that you haven't read are in there. So I'm trying to put those resources in that place so that if you want to see it again or if you didn't see it at all. Yes, sir.
I thought last week was very good. Yes, I went home and pulled out a few U2 CDs that I do have from the past.
I might have to borrow those for a week.
U2 has had a fairly long history of a Christian theme running underneath their music. And the message that came across to me was, yes, I do have U2 CDs. They can reach a culture that we might look at and go, yeah, I don't know how to deal with that. U2, Bono is a ministry outreach. Granted, it's not in our traditional worship manner, but they're planting seeds and they are putting the Word of God in a culture that we as a general group have a hard time relating to. And I appreciate you bringing that to our attention.
I've watched this video maybe four times now, and you probably have not. Did you pick up the quote from Eugene Peterson that speaks to that? I didn't know who Bono was, but the more I got to know him, and especially after I got to meet him, I realized this guy is taking what I'm doing to try to help people understand Scripture better to the very people I meant it for, and I have no way to get it there. Those aren't the circles that I participate in. I thought that was a very significant quotation, and you're emphasizing that again today. Anybody else?
Plan on buying some U2 CDs.
So do I, or borrowing some for a week.
May I just say one thing? When we say our friends in here, we forget our country. Iran has already run their mouth that they're going to, if our ships go in a certain ocean or sea or whatever, they're going to destroy it. China is building military stuff on some islands that are not really theirs, but they're claiming them. We're in a mess, and we need to pray for our country along with all these other things we pray for. And we don't ever do that. And that distresses me. And I'm
without, without disrespect, if you'll come up here and put your name.
No, I don't want to get it. I can't pray out loud.
No, you don't have to. Just have to put your name, and it will remind us. Because we are doing that, but we're not thinking about it. In here, we're focused on what are the needs within the group. And if you want to take our attention wider out, yes, please.
Okay.
And there is someone at 11 o'clock nearly every week.
11 o'clock almost every week. Somebody puts those principles down, and it's a guy. It's a guy whose heart heritage comes out of the Middle East, and knows some of the turmoil that's over in that area. Okay.
Bill.
Yes.
to go back to Bono.
Yeah.
I thought the whole thing was great. I'm not a new music person. I like the old music, but in some of the new. But I thought the whole thing was just beautifully done, and Psalm 40 was one of my favorite songs in my life, and I just really appreciated it. And I'm going to send whatever you send on the links to some of my family.
They're all off YouTube, so as far as I know, I've got permission to sort of pass these things on.
I have two nephews in their 30s that are both missionaries, and they are working with young people in different states, different places. But anyway, I just loved it, and I was so thankful. And I just thank you.
I saw that video and I said, okay, when we get to Psalm 40, we're going to stop and you're going to see this whether you like it or not.
We liked it.
Bill, do you think they announced to their audience about that?
Absolutely not.
Because they left. They didn't say that.
They're leaving that. Apparently is a standard, so people who go to their concerts, and people will go great distances to go to concerts like that, people who go to those concerts, they know that that's coming. But whether they've made the connection, the things that you will read if you read a couple of the other PDFs that are online is that the U2 organization, that he has an organization around that band, and that organization is looking at how to interact with the fans. And one of the things that's on the fan boards is, okay, they got this new song. Here are the lyrics. Where are those lyrics coming from? And the fans are sitting there talking back and forth. Where's this coming from? And they finally realize, this one is out of Psalm 116. This one is out of Psalm 40. This one is out of here. This one is out of here. And they began to put it together. That's what you'll read. And I think what they've decided is, we're putting it out there. We're going to let them figure out where it's coming from. It's going to speak to them first, and then they're going to find out it's God speaking to them. And it's a very different thing from anything we would do. And that's what I think Eugene Peterson said. I didn't know who Bono was, but when I got to know him, I started to realize he's carrying the work that I'm doing to the very people I did it for, but people I don't have any way of getting to. That, to me, was the most powerful set of sentences in the whole of that time. Was to see that. Not to mention seeing Mrs. Peterson tell Bono, quit running. Thank you for laughing at that moment. I thought that was hilarious. I want to ask you a question. Do you remember when we started Psalms that I told you how the Psalms were divided? Do you remember that?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Some were from God.
Five books. And each book ends with a doxology. And the doxologies get a little longer and a little longer and a little longer until finally Psalm 150, the whole psalm, is the final doxology. It's not real clear why it's divided up into these books, but it is. And the end of the first book is Psalm 41. So when we get to Psalm 41, we have finished one of the books of the Psalms. Now, I almost left the choir this morning to go back home because I forgot to bring my iPad. And therefore, the tool that I've used, the crutch I've used to help me keep straight where I am and what I'm doing. And then I remembered that I recently got a new iPhone. And that on my iPhone, I have the ability to sync. So whatever I'm doing on that one, I can get over to this one. And so consequently, I'm ready to talk about I-4. If you see me leaning over like that, it's because the print's slightly smaller. But in any event, it's there now.
Where are you starting?
I don't know yet. I'm still working through that. I'm telling you that we're going to be talking about Psalm 41 in just a moment. And when we do, that psalm, the end of that psalm, is a short doxology, two verses long. And that is the mark of the end of book one of the Psalms. Some people will call it the books of the Psalter, P-S-A-L-T-E-R. If you want to look that up, you can see that. And so we're going to talk about Psalm 41 in just a moment, but Jean still has her hand up and is waving it furiously.
Okay, I was out of town last week, so I'm sorry I missed Fauna. However,
it's on the website, so you can hear what we...
I just had a busy week. All right. I want to go back. I was very timid week before last, I guess.
Holy mackerel.
Can you look at Psalm 37:5, verse 5? And you know, I have the Harper Study Bible, which is an old Bible, but
I did not know that. But
commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will act. He will bring forth. That's 6. Okay. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will act. And my footnote on that, I put 3 stars on it. And it says, anxiety or care is a form of sin in the believer. We are earnestly warned against it. And then it tells you all the places in the Bible for all these things that it's going to say. Anxiety about earthly things is...
I'm just confessing my sin.
Okay. We all can. Anxiety about
not like me this week.
Forbidden and may be conquered by 1, trusting in God, 2, casting care upon God, 3, claiming the promises of God, and 4, thanking Him in advance for His answer to prayer. I just thought that was so moving that I wanted to wrap there.
I'm glad you lost your normal timidity for just a moment.
But isn't that good?
That's very good. I need that. When you get through, write it out for me, okay? I'm dealing with some of you know. I'm not dealing much with it anymore. It's sort of tamping down.
I never thought of all my anxiety as being a sin of a believer, but...
Yeah, I think thinking of it as a sin makes it worse, but... But I do appreciate your pointing that out.
Okay.
You asked me where I was starting, and the reason I hesitated to answer is because I've got one more thing I want to talk about. Something is happening at the prison that some of us go to. I have a feeling that I should start by thanking God, and that right behind that I should say a strong thank you to Bob Wilbur. I think he's been lifting boulders recently. Some of you may be aware that there's a list that the prisoners have to be on in order to be allowed to go to the worship service, and that list is not being updated. So prisoners who want to go, offenders who want to go, are not allowed to go because their name's not on the list. And Bob has been doing some really heavy lifting, and I want to honor you for that quiet behind-the-scenes work. But Thursday night, we've been seeing 25 to 28 guys. Thursday night, we saw 48 guys. And when Brother Stamps started this off, the first thing he did was, I think we have some brothers who are here for the first time. If you're here for the first time, would you stand up? 5 people stood up. 5 people stood up. 2 of them came up afterwards and said something to me that indicated they were getting what I was trying to offer in the teaching time that night. One of the offenders came up to me beforehand and said, I want you to pray for me. And I said, okay, here's a prayer card. I want you to put your name on the front. I want you to turn it over on the back. And I want you to very specifically tell me how I can pray for you. This guy wrote a psalm. That's what he did. He wrote a psalm. He doesn't know it, but he wrote a psalm. And I'd like to read that to you. God, please help me to be sanctified and holy, fit for your use. Have you been to the worship service today? Have you heard Pastor Stocks talk today? God, please help me to be sanctified and holy, fit for your use. Please deliver me from this place. please bless me with my wife. Cause your ministry to flourish in me and in and through my life by the power of the Holy Spirit, that souls may be saved. That's what he wants me to pray for him. And I'm sitting there thinking, you just wrote a song. That's where the Psalms come from. Somebody has a heavy heart. Standing in the need of prayer. Standing in the need of prayer. And they give voice. They give words to what they're feeling and what they're thinking. He wrote a song. And I carried this in to share it with you. Pray for this guy. If you want his name, you can walk up and pick up this piece of paper and read the other side. I'll leave that for you guys to look at. God, please help me to be sanctified and holy, fit for your use. Please deliver me from this place. Please bless me with my wife. Cause your ministry to flourish in and through my life by the power of the Holy Spirit, that souls may be saved. I know a psalm writer. I know a psalm writer.
No, these prayer cards, we hand them out at every service. And we tell the guys that we have a group coming on Monday morning, pray for them. Our group coming on Monday morning has shrunk to 4 or 5. And what the prayer team is now doing is taking all the prayer requests, whether it's from the congregation or the prisoners, and putting them in the room that's the classroom right behind, or right by the sanctuary there, on the wall, and for a week, where anybody can come by and pray. They're cutting our time on Monday morning is 7 to 8 for people to come. Last week, I think they decided they're now going to cut that time from 7:15 to 8 because of concern of the building being open too early for people. What we need is more people on Monday morning praying for those. So if you have free time on Mondays, please come. Because
or coming in during the week.
Or come during the week and pray in that room. Right? Yeah. They took them out. They used to put them in the prayer room. But this is the classroom down the hall there. Right on the left as you walk down.
Give us a room number for next week, please.
213.
213. Okay. So now, we're about to start on Psalm 41, but not quite.
We don't have 45 minutes now.
Yeah, but not quite. We're not quite ready to start on Psalm 41 because we've got to do one more thing. I went through and made a list. This is the original. Turns out when you copy, you have to actually push this down or lift this up or something so that it copies properly. But I've looked at where we are and what we have done in our walk through the Old Testament. And I've made a couple of copies of this. If some of you decided you just can't live without knowing what this list looks like, I can satisfy that need. But what I propose is, I don't want us to get burned out in the Psalms. So what I'm suggesting is, as soon as we finish Psalm 41, I'm moving to Proverbs. Then we're going to do Proverbs. When we finish Proverbs, we're going to come back to Psalm 42, and we're going to do the next book. When we finish that, we're going to go away and do something else. We're going to go back and forth. So we've got, that's the plan that I have for you. Since I'm the one up here, I get to make the plan. So if you would, your plan for next time is start reading in Psalms.
Proverbs.
Start reading the Proverbs. You're actually listening to me. This is great. When did that ever happen before? In any event, we're going to start the Proverbs either this morning, possibly, or next Sunday, almost certainly, and see if you can work with me. But let's now take a look at Psalm 41. What's the key word in the first verse? My translation, the word that jumps out at me is joy. And it's not just joy, it's plural in my translation. joys. And your translation may not even have that word.
Nope.
Psalm 41. Oh, the joys of those who are kind to the poor. And then it has a list of seven things that God does for those people. Oh, the joys of those who are kind to the poor. And remember that we can be talking about poor in spirit as well as poor in monetary ways. And poor in health. And poor in other things. What does yours say if it doesn't say joys?
Blessed.
So yours says how blessed is or something like that?
Blessed
are those. So it almost sounds like the Beatitudes at the moment. Oh, the joys of those who are kind to the poor. Does yours use that word?
The word kind.
Weak.
Has interest in. I'm looking at the word. Has regard. Has regard for. I don't think it's perfectly parallel. And I'm not sure that I've not already told you this. But a small number of people felt urged to give me a small remembrance at my time of transition. And I'm grateful for the gifts that I've received. It's always dangerous to say one gift is more significant than all the others. But there's one that's close to reaching that. It's a photograph. Did I tell you about this photograph last week?
No.
One of my students who graduated a year ago came in just before graduation this year with a wrapped package. And she said, I promised you this last year. I finally got it done. It's a picture of you and me at graduation last year. So I'm there in my finery. If you'd like to see this, go to the University of Richmond on Facebook. There's a 21-minute video that shows the students coming in. And about the third person you see will be me and all of my finery. You won't see that again because I doubt I'll ever wear that finery again. But there it was. It turns out that I list to the left. I didn't know that. I didn't walk like this. I walked like this. Must be something neurological I didn't know. In any event, there's a picture of the two of us. This is a young woman who is black. And she had the photographic studio write in script across the bottom of the picture. And it said, "You noticed me when I was invisible to all the rest." And I've been weeping over that one ever since I got it. This is a special kid. She always calls me Myers. Only student I've ever had who does that. Walks to the door of my office and says, "Myers, we got to talk. I'm lost on something." Hilarious, hilarious thing. But that's what she wrote. "You noticed me when I was invisible to all the rest." And I think for some of our students of color and for some of our students not of color, that's a situation you fall into. I was doing what I normally do, but it made a difference to this one. The translation says, "Oh, the joys of those who are kind to the poor." But your translation, Judith, said, sorry, it was back in here somewhere, regards, regards. Notices,
considers,
does not dismiss, does not look over. Pastor told a story this morning about a little boy. When you get to that point of the service, if you haven't been yet, pay attention. A fellow talked about working with a group of junior boys and deciding that this one was one he was going to just dismiss. If he didn't come, I'd be very grateful, he said. Oh, the joys of those who are kind to the poor. In my translation, there is now a list of seven things that God does for those folks. Do you remember when Jesus said to his disciples, there's going to come a time when you stand before the king, and the king is going to say, "I was hungry and you gave me food." I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. You ministered to me. And what did the servants, the disciples say? Lord, when did that happen? And he says, when you've done something like that for the least of these, my brothers, you've done it as for me. What does God do? I'm still in verse 1 for the first of these. What does he do? Delivers, yours says. Mine says rescues them. Rescues them under what circumstances? When they're in trouble. I'm not sure how well it fits, but I talked to a lady this morning. We had a memorial service for Rhonda yesterday. And I saw a lady this morning who is in our church who has survived breast cancer. And I went up to talk to her to say, I saw you across the room and I prayed for you because I know where you come through. And she said the most unusual thing. She said, I'm so grateful that I had breast cancer. Because my daughter has breast cancer now and I know how to help her. Because I know how people help me. And I... What do you do with something like that? God rescues me when I'm in trouble. Why? First of all, to rescue me because I'm in trouble. Why else? Because now he's got somebody who knows what it feels like to be rescued.
Go and do likewise.
Yeah. And the implication here is you're already doing likewise. Because you've noticed the marginal. What's the second thing? There's two of them in verse 2.
Protects
is my first one. Is that yours also?
Preserve.
Mine says keeps them alive. Mine says keeps them alive. Yours says preserves.
Preserve.
So yours uses both of those forms. Okay. What does it mean to be alive? My job is to make connections. Your job is to listen to them and think about them. What does it mean to be alive? Paul said in one of his letters, speaking to Gentiles who were now Christians, there was a time when you were dead because of the sin that characterized your life. But God made you alive. And then he says, we were too, speaking of the Jewish Christians. We came through that same process. We all were dead, and God has made us alive. I don't know that the psalmist meant it, but I think God managed to put it in by the way the word choice was. God, the Lord rescues them when they're in trouble. The Lord protects them and keeps them alive. He's already made you alive. He's keeping you alive. We think of that, I think, as physical life. But I think there's at least two dimensions to that. Okay? I'm still in verse 2. There's two more coming. What's the next one? Mine says gives them prosperity in the land. What does yours say?
Blessed on the earth.
Blessed them in the land.
Publicly honors them.
Publicly honors them. What's God's plan for his children? For them to be filthy rich?
No.
I don't think so. What's his plan? Yes, but just in the context of this, what's his plan? To have what we need
so we can
and a little more that we can share.
So we can spread the Holy Spirit like the sermon.
The promise here, I need to figure out how to get this to stay on a little longer. Somebody help me afterwards. He gives them prosperity in the land. I think that's what they're talking about. He gives them to where they have enough and more to share. And what's the last of these? Rescues them from their enemies.
Not surrender.
Verse 3 has two things that are both related. One is positive, one is negative. What's the negative?
Sustains.
Nurses them, mine says. Sustains them, yours says, when they're sick. And brings them back to, restores them to health. Oh, the joys of those who are kind to the poor. And oh my goodness, the consequences that come. Noticing somebody who's at the margin and taking a step to do something about it. I think of the things that you guys are doing at Robius Hall. You're not doing it for glory. You're doing it because this is fun. I think about Billy coming in there for the food pantry. Barbara tells me about the smile on your face when you're there. You're not doing that for your own glory. You're doing that because this is, and you're building relationships with these folks. Okay, we have a guy in the second hour who's very faithful to take a meal that we provide, and some of us go along with him to serve down to the Good Samaritan Inn once a quarter, I think it is, that we go there. Verse 4. Lord, I prayed, have mercy on me, heal me, for I have sinned against you. What's the psalmist saying about the source of his need? Why does he need to be healed? Because there's sin in his life. There's a voicing there of confession. There's a voicing there of repentance and a prayer for God to respond. My enemies say nothing but evil about me. How soon, they ask, will he die and be forgotten? Verse 6 is the most awful verse I think you'll read this morning. They visit me as if they were my friends, but all the while they're gathering gossip, and when they leave, they spread it everywhere. With friends like that, all those who hate me whisper about me, imagining the worst. He has some fatal disease, they say. He'll never get out of that bed. Even my best friend, the one I trusted completely, the one who shared my food, has turned against me. Lord, have mercy on me. I don't particularly like the second half of verse 10, but do you remember what Eugene Peterson and Bono were saying last week? You got to find a way to cuss without cussing. I don't know if you picked it up. Eugene Peterson looked up at that moment and said, yeah, the imprecatory psalms do that very well. Had you ever heard the term imprecatory psalm? Did that go running past you to where you didn't notice it?
I didn't catch
it. Imprecatory means, basically, and I've said this about 3 weeks ago, God damn them. And there are psalms that say that. And what Bono and Peterson were saying to each other is we have to find a way to give expression to the anger and frustration that we feel. Because only then, when it comes out, can God begin to work with us. Somebody has really given the psalmist a pretty hard treatment. Lord, have mercy on me. Make me well again so I can pay them back. You think God's going to let him pay them back? What do you think is going to happen? Is God going to honor and make him well? Possibly. I think that's possible. But by the time he gets to paying them back, what is probably going to happen? And I'm only saying this because you know the Lord a bit. What's probably going to happen?
He's going to be changed.
God's going to do a work in his heart where he pays them back how?
Kindness.
With kindness. Jesus said at one point, be kind to your enemies. It's like heaping coals on their heads. Mm-hmm. Never made much sense out of that, but I think it's connected. I invite you to connect them, even if you can't make sense out of the connection. I know you're pleased with me, verse 11 says. What's his evidence? What's the psalmist's evidence? You haven't given the enemies triumph over me. I'm not dead yet, even though they seem to want it. You have preserved my life because I am innocent. You have brought me into your presence forever. Did yours use the word innocent in the middle of verse 12?
Mm-hmm.
Bobby
integrity.
Does. What does yours say?
Integrity.
Integrity.
Honest.
That sort of hides it, doesn't
honest.
It? Innocent sort of lays it all out. You innocent? Okay, when was the last time we worked on this? 6 weeks ago, I think. 5 weeks ago? We haven't worked on this in 4 weeks, 5 weeks. That means you forget. Okay. Can I stand before God and say I'm innocent? Yes, I can. In fact, I'm required to. how in the world can that be? I got a sense of what's going on in here. And the picture is beautiful. What's the picture? I have been covered. All that's still here. All that's still here. But I've been covered. Covered with what? What are the images? Bono and Eugene Peterson talking last week. What was the huge word that they talked about their breakthrough in understanding the Psalms? Uh-oh, you didn't get this one. Metaphor. What's the metaphor that we use? The choir sang it, and you're never going to hear it sung any more beautifully than today. That was a powerful song. Covered by His blood. What an ugly thing that could look like. I'm covered by His blood. A more nice way of saying it is what? I'm covered by His righteousness, the wedding garments. There's that parable. The people wouldn't come to the wedding. The master sent his servants out and said, bring them in. I don't care who they are, bring them in. And then he comes in and he finds a guy and he says, friend, how'd you get in here without a wedding garment? And he threw the guy out. We're all welcome to come in. But God says, put on the righteousness of us. I'm going to take your sins and move them away. I'm going to make you innocent. But it's innocent because when I look at you, I'm going to put my son's blood, my son's righteousness on you. You have brought me into your presence forever. Has that happened yet for you? Has that happened yet for you?
Glimpses.
Because that's happening now. The whole idea of the Holy Spirit, which is the focus of the morning worship service, is the presence of God in our lives right now. Now you can go semantics on me if you wish. Am I in His presence or is He in my presence? But I think that's what we're talking about. What does the word Emmanuel mean? I've taught you. You're pretty smart folks. What does it mean? God with us. When the Holy Spirit comes to live in our hearts, Paul talks a lot about, listen, if the Holy Spirit's come to live in your heart, you need to live worthy of that. Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, who lives from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. There's the doxology that ends part one. There's the doxology that ends part one. Can you write a song? I would not have thought to ask you that question last week. But it occurs to me now. Can you write a song? Yes, you can. Will you write a song? Have no idea. And like I say, I'm not sure my friend knew that's what he was doing. But I know it when I see it. I'm not going to put it on the recording, but I'll let you look at the other side of the card.
Can I see it? This is a great moment. You want to pray for a man that can't afford it for me on Thursday. Thank you.
Thanks.
My thanks.
We're 1/5 of the way through the Psalms. I hope they're starting to come alive for you. I hope you're starting to realize they are not something distant and formal, but they are close and extremely personal. What's your assignment for next time? How far do you read?
Always.
At least the first 8 chapters. At least the first 8 chapters. How far are you going to get? Maybe the first 2. Let's have a word of prayer as we finish. Our Father, we thank You for the time You give us. I thank You for this time. I thank You for Your servant, Rhonda Sadler, who lived her life among us as a person who taught us what peace means, who taught us what wisdom means, who lived out before us what devotion to you means. We ask that your blessings be on Wayne and Kendall, and that your blessings be on her family and her friends, including us. And we thank you for having seen her life lived out among us and with us. Folks around us are sick. We pray for your healing. And as the choir sang, healing is in your hands. And we pray for us as we try to live our lives before you. Help us be mindful and aware of the presence of your Holy Spirit inside our hearts, prompting us and encouraging us. Help us listen. Help us cooperate as you try to continue the work of transforming us more and more into the image of your Son. For we pray all this in your Son's name.